الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. الله عز وجل mentioned principles in the Quran. And one of the important principles in Islam that Allah Azza wa Jal does not oblige a person except what he can afford. Yani anything which is beyond human capability is not demanded. If something is impossible to do, then simply we are not required to do, because it does not make sense that a person is asked to do something which he cannot do. It does not make sense. Anybody who is reasonable will only demand his children or his family members what they can afford to do. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Ahkam al-Hakimeen and He is Ar-Rahim al-Rahimeen. Allah Azza wa Jal, He cannot ask us to do something which we cannot do. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها ما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج. He did not make any haraj in deen for you. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah Azza wa Jal, He wants ease for you. And Allah does not intend difficulty for you. And this has been referred to in many places in the Quran. However, we also see that people, when they make excuse and say, I cannot do, is it that they truly cannot do, or is it that they think they cannot do? These are two different things. One is that something is impossible to do. Another thing that I think that it is impossible to do. These are two different things. A normal human being can walk perhaps a mile, 2 miles. For a normal person who is fit, it is very possible to walk. When we go for Umrah, for Hajj, we walk quite a lot. In fact, every day we walk for miles. I remember, because nowadays in the mobile phones you have applications. So I saw one day that I walked 17,000 steps. Or 18,000 steps a day. Although if a person can walk every day 10,000 steps, this is what they say, Allah knows, he can be very healthy. But because most of the time people are relying on driving, so they hardly walk 4,000, 5,000 steps. Anyway, so a person who is not used to walking might say, I cannot walk. But is it true that he cannot walk? Or is it that because he is not used to walking, he finds it difficult to walk? These are two different things. And we have many examples of that. The same also applies to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the Quran, in the Hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have many commandments. And as Muslims, we are obliged only if we can do.
But we are very quick to say that I cannot do. Same like the person who is not used to walking and simply he says, I cannot walk to Devon, for example. I cannot walk to the pharmacy next door. I cannot walk to the store, which is less than half a mile, for example. I cannot walk. Is it that he cannot walk? Or that he can walk, but he is not used to walking? These are two different things. And because we do not differentiate between this, we make judgment which is not correct. Our judgment is based on our assumption, not the reality. Reality and assumption, these are two different things. In Islam, if a person is totally incapable of doing something, he is not required to do. For example, a person who is unconscious, simply he does not have any awareness, because God forbid there is an accident or because of medical condition, a person is unconscious. Now, simply he cannot pray, because he is not aware of himself. If he cannot pray, is he obliged to pray? He is not obliged to pray, because he is not aware of himself. But a person, he is aware of himself and he is conscious. He knows that I am Muslim. He knows that I have to pray. But because I am doing this thing, this activity, and I would rather finish this activity, well, that is his choice, which he is making. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that a hypocrite delays the prayer. He knows the time for salah has arrived, he delays. No, inshallah, still a lot of time. After 5 minutes, after 10 minutes, he delays. So much so that the time is going to run. So hardly 4 or 5 minutes left and he just prays quickly and finishes. Now, was he not able to pray earlier on? He was fully capable to pray earlier on, but he decided not to do so. The reason why I am mentioning this is because we are living in a different and difficult environment. So sometimes it seems and it looks that we cannot do something. What can I do? Yeah, I know as Muslims we have to do, but I cannot do anything about it. And then we satisfy ourselves. We satisfy ourselves for months and for years. And we keep going like that. Some people told me that sometimes people say, I cannot attend Juma. Why not? Because I have job. Because I have job, I cannot attend Juma. Brother, I have valid excuse. Because I have job, I cannot attend Juma. Now, before we decide that for me attending Juma is out of my capability, I have to think carefully. Is it that I have not made proper arrangement to attend Juma? Or is it that I cannot attend Juma? These are two different things. I have not planned enough. I have not prepared enough. This is something. And that totally it is beyond my capability. God forbid, if a person is in prison for good reason, for bad reason, right? Or for no reason. If a person is in prison, obviously his movement is restricted. He does not own his movement. He is confined. When he is in prison, yes, he can say, I cannot go to Jummah. Because there are so many doors which are locked. And it is almost impossible for him to leave the prison. But subhanAllah, how Allah Azza gives tawfiq. Allahu Akbar. There was a great alim, Hazrat Sheikh Ahmed Farooqi Sarhindi. Sarhind is a place in the north of India. In Haryana. Hazrat Sheikh Ahmed Farooqi Sarhindi, he lived at the time of the King Akbar. Akbar was a Mughal emperor. Akbar, he innovated a new religion called Deen-e-Ilahi. Deen-e-Ilahi was a combination of all the religions. Little bit from Islam, little bit from Christianity, little bit from Judaism, little bit from Hinduism, little bit from Buddhism, little bit from anything, everything. And the history is very strange, very ajeeb. So anyway, Akbar, he wanted to force that religion upon the people. Because his advisors, because Akbar, he became the king when he was 13 years old. His father Humayun, who was son of Babur, his father died because of an accident. So Akbar was 13 years old. He was the elder son. And at that time, whoever is the son will become the king. So he became the king. He became the king, but he was not mature. So he had advisors who would advise him how to run the government. So he came under the influence of advisors. So they manipulated him. And slowly, slowly they managed to convince him that, look, Islam is a great religion, no doubt. But Islam was only for this period of time. Now from this time until another 1,000 years, we need new religion. So let's say Islam was good enough for 1,000 years. And for another 1,000 years we need new religion. A'udhu Billah. So he said that we should have a new religion, we should have everything from every religion. So he made new religion anyway. So the ulama, they found it very difficult to resist. Because you are facing the government, you are facing the king who is very powerful. He united India. That's another thing. So one of the great ulama who resisted that is Hazrat Sheikh Ahmed Farooqi Sarhindi, rahmatullahi alayh, who later on became known as Mujaddid of Al-Fathani, Mujaddid of the next 1,000 millennium. It is mentioned in the hadith that every 100 years Allah Azza wa Jal sends a Mujaddid, a alim, a sheikh who will renew the religion. The ulama, they gave him the title Mujaddid of Al-Fathani. And one of the reasons why, obviously after Allah's mercy, why people in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Burma, they are Muslims, is because of Mujaddid Al-Fathani. Because he resisted that movement of the king. So Akbar put him in the prison. Although he was in the prison, every Friday he used to wake up early, he used to have shower, get ready, and go fast and run towards the gate of the prison. So the guards got to know him. So the guards used to say, why are you running? You know the gate is locked. And these are royal prisons, not easy. Military prisons, not easy. He used to say that Allah obliged me to run towards the masjid on Friday. إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَسَعَوْ لَا ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. When the Adhan is called on Friday, then you run towards the Dhikr, remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah obliged me to do this much. Now, can I leave the prison and go to the masjid or not? That is something else. But I am able to run towards the door. So I should run towards the door. Every Friday he used to do that. Every Friday he did that. And every Friday the guard will say, Sheikh, you know, Maulana, why are you doing this? Waste of time. But look at the sincerity and how Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted that. That Akbar died and his religion also died. Akbar died and his religion did not affect people. Not his own family members. Because his son Salim was Muslim. Shahzada Salim, the Prince Salim, he was Muslim. And Salim's son Shah Jahan, he was Muslim. And Shah Jahan's son Aurangzeb, he was a Muslim, he was a Hafiz of the Quran, he was an Alim. So Islam remained intact. So we have to be sincere with ourselves when we say, I cannot do this. Is it that I am not used to doing this, or is it that it is impossible for me to do it? These are two different things. If it is something totally impossible, yes, you are not required to do. But we cannot decide very easily whether something impossible for us to do or we are not used to do. Yesterday we had tafsir of the Quran, and during the tafsir I mentioned, when we apply for a job, I have a family, I have children, and I am the only person who drives. I have to take my kids to the school and I have to pick up the kids from the school. Right? Now, do I apply for job without realizing, without knowing that I have to drop the children to the school, I have to pick up the children from the school? Or do I take that into consideration? I take that into consideration. And I am very relaxed and I am very comfortable to say that, look, I have to leave the work at this time because I have to pick up the kids from the school. I have to drop them. When we know ourselves that this is the right thing to do, we have all the comfort and all the confidence to ask. And when we are confident, then the person whom you are talking to will oblige and he will say, well, this is a reasonable request. You know, you have family, you have children, and you have to pick up the kids from the school. As Muslims, it is more important and it is more obligatory to do the Jum'ah prayer than dropping the kids to the school and picking up the kids from the school. If the children do not go to school 1 day, 2 days, it doesn't matter. I know people who are successful, they have never been to any school. I personally know people who don't know how to write their names and they are millionaires. I personally know them. They cannot write their names and they are millionaires. It doesn't mean that we should not know how to read and how to write. But what I am saying, Allah obliges us to pray. So I have to make all the necessary arrangements to pray. And then after that, if it is impossible for me to do, then Allah forgives. May Allah give us the strength and tawfiq. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala sayyidina Muhammad. Alhamdulillah.